Welcome to the Ether. Today is Thursday, June 8th, 2023. Today on the Ether, Informal Spaces. Fundraiser. Are they doing a fundraiser for us? Oh, that's so sweet, you guys. Thank you. Let's take a listen.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to our Informal Spaces. We took a quick break last week, but we are back with some new information and new content. So very excited to have you all on board. Informal Spaces happens every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So you can follow us on Twitter for a reminder, set those, and a recap of every single spaces. If you go to our website, you can subscribe to our newsletter. Currently, you'll get an update when the blog goes out and exciting new information going up. And you can please join the forum for discussion on props. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Nothing spoken about in our Twitter spaces is investment advice. It's just so we can go ahead and talk about interesting things that are happening at Informal Systems. We have informal conversations that are also on YouTube and Spotify, so take a listen to those. Today, we will be going into speaking about our fundraiser a little bit. We have Ethan here, who is our CEO, and then we have Tasneem, who is head of our audits, security audits team, and she'll give us a little bit of an intro on that. And then we have Pepe and Tomash, who are here from the Ko-Fi team. So we can go ahead and get started. Maybe if we want to start with introductions, Tomash, you want to start?
Yeah, hello. So I'm the member of the Ko-Fi team. So my role here is mainly making sure that making sure that we fully understand the networks and the effect of networks, how the communities are connected with the networks, what are the flows of values within the networks, and this is a quite substantial part of the Ko-Fi. So,
awesome. And then Pepe, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Pepe Litera. I previously worked in Sardex and Bootstrap that up, and after writing a paper with Tomash and Paolo, we got in touch with Ethan, and basically I'm working in the Ko-Fi team developing the smart contract and Web3 parts of our first, we call it MTCS, so our first, so to speak, app and system to find liquidity savings across networks of value.
Awesome. Thank you. Tasneem, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, sure. Hello, everyone. I'm Tasneem, the program lead for the audit. My background is in the tech world with a degree in computer science engineering. Then I have done a master's in distributed systems and a PhD on the use of formal methods for correct implementation of critical systems. Then I have worked in the industry in order to find real use cases where I can apply what I have learned. So I have worked a couple of years in the risk assessment of electric systems in improving the tools. Then I discovered the Bitcoin and the blockchain technology and worked on assessing the use of this technology in the electric domain. So I conducted several projects like energy marketplaces or crowdfunding for innovative projects. And risk and security was always in my mind. So we have also done in the project I was involved in some work on the use of formal methods to secure Solidity smart contracts. Then I met with Jarko. I discovered Informal, the Internet of Blockchain, its goals and mission that include transforming quality standards of software and the team working on tools and audits. So I wanted to be part of it.
Awesome. And we are so glad to have you. Ethan, do you want to kick us off with a little bit of just, I'm sure most people on the spaces have heard about our fundraise, but just a quick summary of the fundraise. And then, you know, we have CoFi and audits on here because that's, you know, what we plan on working on. So if you want to give a quick summary.
Hey, guys. Yeah, sure. Thanks. Good to have other folks on from Informal to talk about stuff. So yeah, you probably heard Informal just announced its first fundraise since spinning out a few years ago. So we raised 5.3 on a convertible note from in a round led by CMCC. So really excited to be working with them. They also just backed Anoma, also just had a fundraiser announcement. And, you know, we collaborate with Anoma and love what the CMCC guys are doing and funding in the space. And a list of other folks we're partnering with, Nascent, Maven 11, CMT Digital, BKCM, Signy, and Cerulean, many of which we've, you know, worked with before, some we haven't and are excited to, and some angels from, you know, founders and core entities from Celestia and Anoma and Eigenlayer, all of which we're very excited about. So yeah, this was kind of marking a turning point for Informal in terms of the first kind of first fundraise and the company starting to move seriously out of just focusing on kind of core Cosmos development and R&D around those protocols into other commercial opportunities built especially around our audits business, which Tasneem is on to chat about, and about CoFi and the products we want to build there to actually make crypto real and to help the real economy and real people. And, you know, through all of that, transform the institutions of software, money, and organizations. So we have big ambitions, but, you know, starting small and yeah, we'll evolve that over time together. Yeah.
Awesome. And you know, obviously, we've been talking about audits and CoFi, so we'd love to get some more information on the audit division. I don't think there's a lot of like public information out there. Some folks know about the great work that we've been doing, but would love to open the floor up to Tasneem and Ethan to talk about the audit division. And maybe we can start with why the audit business was formed. Either Ethan or Tasneem can jump in.
I was going to take that off, but I was muted. Yeah, so I mean, ever since Informal's founding, we've always cared a lot about correctness and quality assurance in software, and you know, finding a way to improve people's ability to reason about software and to secure it ultimately. And so our, you know, in our founding and our team today, you know, we focused a lot on formal methods and the expertise and capabilities that comes from reasoning with formal methods, which has felt like you know, very difficult, inaccessible kind of academic domain for a long time, but is increasingly becoming more accessible and useful. You know, almost like cryptography does. Some, you know, sometimes like SNARKs and zero knowledge proofs were once you know, impossible academic dream, so called moon math, and now it's all real, and you know, it's real for real developers using things that use ZK SNARKs. We kind of wanted to take a similar bet on formal methods. And as something that we can make increasingly accessible. And so, you know, one way to start to build that is through audits, where we can use those methods to actually, you know, provide auditing services and security and correctness services to companies in the space and projects in the space and beyond, and use that to be more effective, but to also help them in the long term, you know, have artifacts that they can continue to use to model and understand understand their protocol. So the sort of audit business started to, you know, peep out into the world in 2021 and say, hey, can we start actually commercializing this expertise and bringing something to market and starting to use. At the time, we were using TLA Plus and the formal methods systems around that. And we've been building our own tools around TLA Plus to make us more effective, most recently with Quint, which is our specification language. That we think is, you know, very, very close to being accessible is accessible to, you know, regular developers and kind of brings formal methods into the domain of development in a way that, that will really help. And so we've been building out the audit business around that and working with a lot of kind of many core teams, across Cosmos, and we're excited to work with more of them and to really supercharge their, correctness assurance processes, their ability to understand, for their communities to understand what they're working on and its security. And yeah.
Awesome. super exciting stuff, and we're really excited about everything that the audit business is doing. Tasneem, maybe as a program lead, do you want to give us a little bit of background on the team, like how many people are you working with, and maybe some notable audits that the team has completed?
Yes, sure. So our team is about between 12 and 15 people, but we are growing now. We have people that we are interviewing, and we are growing the team. It's composed mainly by security engineers, but also PhD with researchers that have background on protocol design and formal verification. So different backgrounds, different expertise that allow us to work with different projects in the space. We have an approach that I think is specific for Informal, which is a layered approach where, as the normal audits, we do code inspection, which is manual code inspection of the code to find some code level vulnerabilities. We have also apart for protocol reconstruction. And this is what we are doing with Anoma, for example, for their proof of stake module. And we also have parts for testing and the use of formal modeling to write formal specification and being able to use our in-house tools to verify if certain invariant or guarantees of the project's protocol are held. So for the projects that we are working on today, we are really happy to work with DYDX, which is a big project, and everybody is waiting for them to come to the space. So we are very happy in collaborating for them to come to Cosmos. I'm also really happy with the work that we have done with Neutron, which launched not so far from now. It has been a really good journey working with them, and we are happy that we have audited interchain security, but also the first consumer chain. It's a very interesting project. We have audited the interchain queries, the modules, the custom modules around IBC they have developed. We have also developed the smart contracts for governance. They have been using DAO and the tokenomics of them. And also we audited the Neutron token generation event that is used today for the airdrop. So it's really exciting to go from you know, the specification, the teams working on the project, we were there with them to be able to launch on time and with a high quality code. And of course, we have other projects we are happy to collaborate with, like Osmosis. We are always amazed by the quality of work they are doing and the new features that they are developing. We also have Stride, which is a very good partner, working on liquid staking, and Celestia, that everyone is waiting. So yeah, very exciting times for audits with all the consumer chain coming, new features that have being implemented. And yeah, we are leaving the excitement of the teams with them, as audits is the last stone before launch. And yeah, we are happy also by innovating. We are trying also to innovate in the approaches we use for audits, like Ethan was saying with Quint, and now we have been using it for a couple of audits now, and the project are starting to see the importance of this and what it can bring, and we decided to make some workshops around the use of these methods to our partners in order for them to understand a little bit better these methods, to see where they can be used, and help them integrate more advanced techniques in their development cycle to enhance correctness and security. And also with this, they are also happy to work with us in improving these tools and giving us feedback. So what we see in audits, the issues that we see, that we discover, the way projects are working, help us also improve the toolings, the methods, in order to give relevant feedbacks and deliver a high quality work for all the projects.
Awesome. I feel like that was such a good summary of everything you all have been working on. I think maybe it would be cool to hear more about like Quaint and the other tools that you all are being used. And I know, Ethan, you mentioned it earlier. So if you two wanted to discuss Quaint a little bit and how you integrate that into the work that the audits team is doing. Tazim, I know you just mentioned it a little bit, but a little bit more context, I think, would be super helpful for those on the call who maybe have never heard of Quaint before.
Yeah, sure. So Quint is what we call an executable specification language, and it's something that allows developers to not quite implement a program, but implement a specification of their program that they can play with, that helps them kind of work out protocol details and understand why things need to be in certain places, and can serve as sort of better documentation, right? Rather than writing pseudocode, you actually have something that that you can play with and check. You can use all the tools from you write pseudocode, it's easy to make mistakes and stuff like that, right? You can actually have something you can play with and explore. So it's primarily first and foremost, there's a sort of it's a knowledge device, a knowledge tool. It helps really understand what you're working on in a way that just static specifications and even code itself can't. Because you start to get lost in implementation details that the static specifications don't have. It's sort of the missing middle between your static specifications and your code that lets you really understand your protocol or the system you're building. And often just starting to write the spec allows you to find issues or to think about other things, because it gets you in the mood of thinking more rigorously about what you're doing and what you're trying to do. And Quint was designed to be really accessible and easy to get started with, compared to previous formal specification languages. They take a lot of there's a lot more barrier to entry, and so Quint is really trying to ease people into it and make it fun and fast, and it comes with a REPL, so you can start using it right away. That's a command line interface to start playing around and start getting results. But then where you can take it from there is you can use it as a test generating engine. And the way to think of that is like the most possible advanced fuzzer, right? Because there's fuzzing sort of starts to hit its limits in terms of how effective it can be, because it's basically a black box. Just like throw randomness at your program and see what happens. But for randomness to be effective, it actually needs to be aware of the structure of your program and what you're trying to do to really test it effectively and get the sort of full coverage. And when you start trying to make your fuzzing system less of a black box and encode more about what your program is doing, so that you can generate better tests and so you can get better coverage and ultimately higher assurance that your system works and is correct, you start to hit serious limits about actually modeling your system in order to generate tests for it, right? And then having those models in Quint that you already use to understand your protocol in the first place, and onboard new people and explain things and have people sort of participate and understand, can now be used to actually generate tests and basically unbounded number of tests for your system in a much more intelligent way than would be possible by trying to code the tests by hands, and so you can end up significantly improving on the amount of code, probably by order of magnitude or two, and get much more coverage and assurance out of your testing system. So we could go into a lot more detail about Quint and different aspects of it, but at a high level, that's really what it enables.
Awesome. Thanks. I think like going in line with Quint, and it's not just applicable to Cosmos projects or really any chain, it's applicable across anyone who's really building an app and they want to create more robust versions before they launch. And obviously our security team helps with that, and Quint does as well. I'd love to hear a little bit more from Ethan or Tazneem about potential expansion beyond the Cosmos in our audits business.
Yeah, Tazneem, you want to take that?
I don't see any barrier into using our expertise and tools in other ecosystems, because we are building processes and tools that are pretty generic and can be applied in multiple spaces. Of course, other ecosystem have their specifics, like, for example, in Ethereum, they have their own way of writing Solidity contracts and the EVM. So some other projects have particular ways of finding critical bugs, but the tools can be used, and it's a matter of having the knowledge of what other spaces are doing. But we are already auditing some Solidity smart contracts. You know that now we have in the space Router, Axler, that are trying to bind the Cosmos space to Ethereum. So they do write Solidity contract in order to be able to communicate with other ecosystem. And we are already starting in order to be open to other spaces. We have to understand them, know the technology, and start also be involved more and more in the ecosystem that we'll be connected to.
Awesome. It's great to hear. And I guess, like, this is a perfect segue into our kind of closing thoughts on audits. Is with the fundraiser that we just had, obviously audits is going to be a big focus. How do we foresee, you know, the influx really helping our audits team expand?
Yeah, I think we want to, you know, so like Tiznit was saying, Quint is a very general purpose tool. And so it works, you know, the goal is for it to work for software in general, and especially, you know, distributed system software in general. And we're excited to see other, you know, interoperability and more than just like sequential smart contracts are coming to way more ecosystems. And that's really where what these tools have been sort of best designed for. And so we're looking to start expanding into other ecosystems and bringing on some more talent and being able to start to build ecosystem specific tooling sort of downstream from Quint, so that you can actually integrate it into those systems and developers can start to use it more natively to power their testing and things like that. So yeah, really starting to focus on expanding beyond Cosmos, you know, first to Ethereum and then to others, but also being able to start building tooling that's sort of useful for these ecosystems as well. That's sort of more domain specific. You can use Quint out of the box to get value for any kind of protocol today, but if you want to actually really start hooking it up, you know, to your testing environment and have it really become part of your continuous integration and all that stuff in a way that's connected with your code, you're going to need more domain specific tooling, and that's what we're excited to start building out. Yeah,
awesome. I think that we are good on the audits division. We'll have some time for questions at the end, but we would love to hear a little bit from the CoFi division. I don't know if Pepe or Tomash, which one of you would like to kind of give us a background. We've had a CoFi Twitter Spaces before, but for those people who don't know, maybe a quick intro and then kind of maybe some more information on your team, just like Tasneem gave, like how many people are working on this initiative, things like that.
Should I go, Tomasz? Yo. The CoFi team is currently growing. So we started with like three of us, and then I think we're close to six or seven now. Plus, some people are having kids, so that's an extra like strain and positive thing. I mean, it's wonderful. In terms of what we're doing, there's different tracks of work. So, but generally, as a overreaching vision, I would say we are all keen on developing tools for real economic actors, meaning from your grocer to whatever company size you can go up to, so that they can collaboratively finance each other. And the first application we're sort of working on right now is based on the work that Tomasz, Paolo, and me did on liquidity savings, and especially when it comes to invoicing. And in really short, it is about figuring out how to net accounts payables and receivables that are in a graph, and that graph is not balanced. And what we actually do, we look through the graph and take out the balanced part. The balanced part means loops inside those graphs, which means I owe Bob, Bob owes Charlie, Charlie owes me, and there you can have a liquidity saving.
Awesome. That was a great overview of, I love that example when we send the Bob and the, you know, whoever exchanging money, because I think that's a really great illustration for those of us who, like me, are not super technical. But now, given that we have a little bit of an intro, we'd love to hear like what team is like currently working on. I know you all just got back from a really great week in Vienna, but if you could give us an update kind of on what's the team doing right now and what's going on in maybe the next quarter or so.
Let's say there's I will call it, and Tomasz can correct me, more algorithmic work going on. So we are basically improving what, as far as we know, is the state of the art when it comes to what they're called clearing algos. So that's one big chunk of the work. We're also working on a sort of Web2 track and Web3 track, where we're actually iterating still on stealth mode on how these could be implemented. And then there's a more theoretical and vision work going on, as there is a white paper in the making where we hope to highlight the next step and the roadmap ahead. We actually believe that there's room for collaborative financial applications in every ecosystem and for every actual geography and business segment. The hard part is actually making it work all in an interoperable manner and possibly preserving privacy while actually saving money to companies. And as for like future application, we are looking at liquidity injection as an overarching theme, which means once you have data over a graph of economic relations, on top of being able to reduce the amount of debt and maximize the utility of current available money or credit, we plan on working on liquidity injection, which is basically adding liquidity to this graph, which has some nice property, as with very little liquidity, the overall effect can be multiplied. So let's say you have Alice, Bob, and Charlie, and on top of saving one third of what they owe to each other, they can like actually grow the network by inviting other suppliers or customers, and the software can actually analyze this graph and simulate what can happen if you add whatever amount of liquidity in the system. The point is always to reduce the debt, maximize the efficiency in a collaborative way without actual value extraction as a top priority. And there's like open questions on how you distribute the gains. And so there's also a governance side to all of these. And I hope I made it simple enough to follow.
No, yeah, that was perfect. You did mention other entities and getting customers. How does your team plan on, you know, getting those entities to collaborate? And I guess, who are exactly the types of entities that you want to target for, you know, bringing into the CoFi fold?
That's a super super duper question, and I'll try to give my take on this, and we're still working on it. We see mainly two avenues, and so one is more traditional, what you called B2B platforms, or anyone who is actually managing account payables and receivable. So we could plug into virtually all of those, which are many. And right now they're all silos. So the idea is to use Ko-Fi as a sort of a inter-chain bridge among all these silos, because we know there is a wealth of liquidity savings that are just waiting to be discovered. So one way would be to actually integrate, or maybe partner with these more traditional B2B players. And there's another opportunity, which I think is also really, really interesting, and is sort of bringing this liquidity saving primitive to other more Web3 traditional protocols, which might also enjoy liquidity savings. And in that case, we would be trying to make DeFi less degenerate and more collaborative. That would be a great goal. Then there's maybe a third exploratory path where we are actually in dialogue with various institutions that work either on like higher levels in terms of economic on more like can you say national institutions that manage payments or on country by country basis, and on the very like more grassroots adoption, we are in talk with a number of communities who are interested, who already are developed, who already have relations in place and networks and are interested in our solution. So there's this possible, go-to-market path.
Awesome. I feel like there's so many exciting things that are happening, and I can't wait to see who we get to onboard into Ko-Fi. I guess moving on a little bit to the next topic that's a little bit similar. You all spent a week in Vienna, as I've already mentioned. Who are some of the other people in the space, and how do you see yourselves in kind of like the landscape of collaborative finance?
The meeting in Austria was at the Commons Hub in Reichenau on the Rax, and like a big shout out to Giulio and Felix and all the guys and Matthew who organized it. I think it was, at least for me, it was the first time I could actually see people from the more grassroots community currency space interacting and engaging with people who are more from, let's call it the crypto space. So that's already like, I think was a great achievement. Among the people, I mean, I can just off the bat, I mean, there were the region network that probably people are familiar with, or grassroots economic, which is a huge complementary currency in Kenya, resource finance, which is a mutual credit protocol. There is the Mutual Credit Services, which is a partner of ours who works in the UK. The guys from EXA, which stands for Economic Space Agency. I don't want to leave anybody out. And there was Jeff from... Ethan, can you help me out on
remembering
Block Science.
The Circles team brought a big chunk of their team out in Berlin, and there's a lot of overlap there. So but there are a lot more folks that it's okay, Pepe. We don't have to list everyone.
Exactly. I mean, overall, like what was amazing is a lot of interest on multilateral trade credit setup. That's what we do. A lot of mesh credit proposals. I counted at least 5 different implementation of mesh credit. Very interesting work being done around what's being dubbed mutual staking, And I think everybody sort of agree on like being part of a sort of movement which we are somehow spearheading and calling it CoFi as like a big umbrella term for all these different approaches to a different kind of finance that's probably never been experienced by most of the people, and actually one of the hurdles is trying to communicate these strangely less harmful ways of interacting with each other with money, because people are so used to a more competitive type of landscape. And But actually, in collaboration lie more savings and more opportunities in the long term for everyone involved. And what else from the conference that was notable? Like crazy stuff around also off chain and offline accounting. I've seen a really nice implementation of like medieval tally sticks. Which are something from whatever 8 centuries ago, and someone actually it's a project called MyChips, and they implemented them digitally. So, I mean, there's a lot of tech, a lot of developer interest, and also grassroots communities willing to adopt these. So it's really about making the whole process as simple as possible, as user friendly as possible. And there's a lot to work on UX on as I see, but the foundations are there. There's a lot of agreement on understanding networks as like really a core object of our work. And also a lot of will to overcome barriers and interoperability. And in particular, IBC like shines as a good common language that's actually being looked at and adopted in very different ecosystems already.
Awesome. That's amazing. Just to close out the discussion before we open the stage up to some questions, I think I had saw Jimmy raise his hand. But for CoFi, just like I asked with audits, where do we see this fundraiser really helping expand our efforts in CoFi?
Yeah, well, it really lets us actually build out a team and a product and a vision and a roadmap. I mean, we have initial we have a lot of initial work, but this actually gives us some initial funding to really go and start building it, right? So CoFi emerged out of insights in based on real systems, but are sort of deep technical insights that need to be integrated about what happens when you base finance on graph theory instead of game theory. And that's a big project. I mean, that's going to be a 100-year project if we pull it off. But to start with, we need to start somewhere with building out a product team, and that's what we're doing. So we just actually made our first hire. So he's here with me. If you want to say hi?
Everybody, I'm Mark. Cool. I'm with Daytree.
Yeah, cool. So he's diving in the deep end on this stuff, and we'll be building up a team, and we're really starting to explore the cryptographic architecture to make all this work. You know, we want to be able to do this in the world of privacy preserving blockchain systems, and be able to have people start basically adding obligations as a new kind of basic primitive to the space of blockchains. We've been kind of scared, I think, as a blockchain community to open up credit in that kind of sense and think about that, but that's really what we have to do if we're going to make this all more collaborative. And so yeah, we have a lot of work ahead of us, but this really allows us to get started. We'll have the white paper coming out soon and really sort of kick off the larger project and product effort on our side. Yeah.
Awesome. I think we're pretty much wrapped up on kind of the deep dives into our audit division and for CoFi. So I think, Ethan, maybe as some closing thoughts, we focused in on these two teams, but I think folks in the audience and also feel free to raise your hand and ask questions. But what is your vision, I guess, for the next year or two, given that we have successfully raised money?
Yeah, I mean, our long-term vision is to transform the quality standards of software, money, and organizations. And for software, it's how we build and deploy it. And we plan to do that using executable specifications. And for money, it's how we issue and distribute it. And we plan to do that using what we call collaborative finance technologies, essentially graph theory instead of game theory. And for both of those, we're really getting started with them. On the one hand, Quint, and expanding the audit team to really help teams start to help projects in the space start to understand the power of this technology and use it to supercharge their own processes. And on the Ko-Fi side, to actually get this get these ideas out there and get people hooked on the potential of replacing game theory with graph theory at the foundation of our finance. Yeah, we're excited to get started with it.
Awesome. Do we have any closing thoughts or any questions from the audience? Tomasz, I know you haven't been able to speak this whole time, but any closing thoughts from Tomasz or Tasneem or Pepe?
I would just like to say that the event in Austria showed that collaborative finance as such is in huge demand. So the communities are really looking forward to it. And the development in this space of alternative finance, community currencies, and also in the crypto space is all leading towards development of new and exciting opportunities for collaborative finance. So I think there will be a lot of new stuff in this direction in the future.
Yay. Tasneem, any closing thoughts from the audit side?
Yeah, I'm really excited by all the projects that are building on Cosmos and the collaboration that we are having with them. It's not just audit, it's security as a whole. And I'm really happy with the partnership we are having from this side. I also see that projects are more and more taking security into concern. This is shown, and they are improving a lot their code. And please, your specification, you have to update it for us to understand better your code and be able to do correct work. But I see that projects really are improving a lot from that angle, and happy that we are building with them, we can say.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, everyone, all the speakers and everyone in the audience. We're really excited about this next phase for informal systems. And we really believe that the things that we're building will have a broader impact on the rest of the world. So we're excited that you decided to join us on this journey. And please keep in touch. And thanks for your time.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Informal Spaces Fundraiser. Apparently not for us. That's okay. Recorded on Thursday, June 8th, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. If you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support now.
There's this principle in Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably it kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code, and now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yam, Beto, and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue?
GM fam.
Is it really worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
They started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out. Teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits. All you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here rewiring features. More critical thinking, less knee-jerk. More evolution, less shit. Coin preachers pretending to be teachers, y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Channel Spaces.